Welcome to Community Voices, a production of NPR Illinois. In the studio today, Malia Berkowitz. Is that correct?
Yep.
Okay, right on. Welcome to the studio.
Hey.
So you are here.
I am the director of Westminster Cooperative Preschool here in Springfield.
So what would you like to talk about today?
Yeah, so I had reached out because I feel like this is the perfect time of year to talk to some parents and families about the idea of preschool and deciding when your child is ready.
Mm-hmm.
This is the time of year that the five-year-olds start going to their kindergarten preview days and families start to feel like, oh, my child maybe isn't quite ready yet, or maybe an even younger child, and they think, oh gosh, maybe we need to start looking at preschools. And so I wanted to talk a little bit about ways that you could tell that your child might be ready or that you might be ready as a parent or adult in that child's life, and how to pick a good preschool for you, and also to share a little bit about my favorite preschool, which is Westminster Cooperative.
Right on. And that's located at Westminster. That's right on Walnut and
Edwards. Of Walnut and Edwards. It's in the Westminster Presbyterian Church. It is a secular program. We do partner with the church, but all of our curriculum is secular.
Okay. So that's the, like, as far as ways to reach out to get a hold of you.
Yep. We have a website, which is westminsterpreschool.org. We are also pretty active on Facebook, and you can find us there. You can call any day of the week. We'd be happy to chat with you. We're doing a lot of tours right now. Families coming to see the classroom. It's really fun. You can come at a quiet time if you just want to see the room, but you can also come during class and see what it looks like on a normal, wild, happy day with the kids.
So, a play-based approach to learning. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Absolutely. So there's lots of different ways to teach children. And one of the ways that we really believe in is called a play-based curriculum. And so, as you know, kids, especially 2, 3, 4, 5-year-olds, love to play. It's the most natural way that they interact with their environment and the world. And research has shown that engaging children in learning through play is the best way to set them up for success, both academically, but also socially. And when you look at kindergartners, and we've spoken with the kindergarten teachers even right here in town, what they're looking for is kids who can be self-directed, who have a good social-emotional learning, who are used to working in collaboration. And those are the skills that you're most likely going to gain with our play-based program.
Very nice.
So that means that we also don't do worksheets. We don't sit the children down at a specific center. The kids are in control of how they spend their day. And so they can play anywhere in the classroom for as long as they want with whomever they want. And it's really great to watch them explore and gain confidence in learning new things.
Well, here's something that's kind of, maybe this is outside of what you want to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a strange thing coming out of, you know, a couple years ago, we had a worldwide thing, you know, so there was social distancing. And so programs like this, I mean, some of these kids would have been almost like too young for that, but still getting kids used to interactions and stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah. We live in a world that has a lot of technology, especially for children. And I get it. My kids have tablets. We use them for doctor's appointments and sick days and all the times that we need them. But being able to bring your child to a place where there are no screens, where the room is full of blocks and paints and toys and dirt and mud and other kids is just so good for them. Really focusing on that social emotional learning is a big part of what we do. And so we use a tactic that's called conscious discipline. We don't do timeouts. We try really hard not to say stop that or don't run. We try to encourage the behavior we want to see. And so we'll say, let's use your walking feet or let's use kind hands. We also really encourage our students to solve their own problems. And so when we have kids who are fighting over a toy, we try not to swoop in and say, oh, let's set a timer. Oh, let's take turns. We try to come in and say, what's going on? You tell me what's happening. What are some solutions you can come up with? What's something we can try? And then if it doesn't work, we'll try something else. And as a parent, I was a little skeptical of that at first, that I was like, my three-year-old, there's no way. They're never going to do that. But then you watch it in action, and it's magical. You know, they come up with really fun ideas, and it builds those bonds between the kids, which is really wonderful. And that's honestly one of my favorite things about this preschool age, is that it's hard as a parent to navigate that. But if you can find a community of other parents and other families that are going through that, you can learn from each other and help each other. And that's one of the just truly wonderful things about a preschool family and community, is that you support each other through the good days and the hard days.
The interactions between child to child, student to student, along with the adult, mm-hmm. you know, I'm not sure if you call it like an instructor
yeah,
or...
Yeah, we have teachers and what we call parent assistants.
Parent
so we have several adults
okay.
yeah,
yeah,
present
yeah,
in the
yeah.
classroom. But yeah, they're kind of guiding the children mm-hmm. rather than telling them what to do.
Right, right. But that is good because it's like that sense of your self-discovery mm-hmm. that a child has where it's like, okay, wait a minute, I have... And I don't mean to put words mm-hmm. into the mouth of the program, mm-hmm. but not told strictly what to do.
Yep.
It's like they can just kind of learn along the way.
Exactly.
You know, so that helps them really develop because they aren't just being told what to do. There are times when maybe that is, you know, it's mm-hmm. you learn certain things from that,
sure.
but also learning the things where they kind of, in a way, are guided, but learn on mm-hmm. their own.
It builds a lot of independence and autonomy, which is great because mom and dad aren't always right there. And especially as they move into, you know, elementary school, there's going to be times that they're on the playgrounds with their friends and conflicts are going to happen. That's mm-hmm. totally natural. And so when they have the confidence and the words to say, hey, I don't like it when you do that, please stop, they're going to be a lot more successful.
Right, right. I remember when I was, God, I was in either kindergarten or first grade. And there was a kid who kind of, he just would run around and kind of want to pick on,
mm-hmm.
you know, pick on everybody. And everybody was kind of tired of it, but they also, you know, it's like, what do? You know, mm-hmm. you weren't sure. I remember one point I sort of stood up to him, not in a way like, I'm tired of this, what yeah. he's doing to me and to other kids. And the thing was, then once I kind of just said something firm to him, mm-hmm. I didn't get mm-hmm. in a fight or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But then he kind of stopped. And so I don't even know if it was that he even noticed that he was doing.
Yeah.
But after that, he didn't really do that so much with
yeah.
me or other kids, really.
I have found that most kids naturally want to get along with their peers.
Mm-hmm.
And especially when you build a community where they care about each other, they understand if a friend says, I don't like that or that hurts, they understand that. And so being able to give the children the tools to voice those opinions and to listen and to modify their behaviors, it's a lifelong skill. It's something I struggle with in adulthood sometimes,
mm-hmm.
being able to speak up and say, hey, I didn't like that.
Yeah,
and so
yeah.
watching these kids go from, you know, fairly shy little toddlers who, you know, are brand new to each other to hearing them, you know, for the first time say, you know, I need my space or
mm-hmm.
I would like a turn with that now. It warms your heart to see all these, you know, independent little people growing.
Right. And the same for me, too, like being an adult. Sometimes it's like, oh, wow, I needed checked. I needed to check myself.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I don't even realize,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Oh, yeah. It's very easy. And so that's one of the things that I love about this program. We get to watch kids kind of grow and learn all of those things. And then our program's been around a long time. We've been here for about 53 years here in Springfield.
I was going to ask how
yeah.
long it's been. Okay.
Started
wow.
in 1973 in the same building with the
mm-hmm.
same little tables and chairs. And so it's great because sometimes we even get like multiple generations. So we have kids now whose parents went to Westminster.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's great. We kind of joke about, you know, the Westminster effect that no matter where you go, you're going to find someone else who's connected to the school.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also really great for community building, you know, when you're going through that age of, you know, going to public school for the first time
mm-hmm.
and your kids are meeting brand new people, having that community that you know and that you've built those bonds with really makes a difference. We still, our family trick-or-treats with one of our preschool
nice.
Family friends
yeah,
every
yeah.
year. We vacation with another family friend. And so it's just really nice to have that. It can be really isolating as a parent. And so having a community that's kind of built in that looks
mm-hmm.
after each other. And that's one of the other things. We're the only cooperative preschool in Springfield.
Okay.
And so as a co-op, we function a little bit differently. Our families are really involved in our preschool.
Okay.
They help with administrative tasks. They help with day-to-day things. We could not keep running without our families.
Mm-hmm.
So our tuition's a little bit lower because we do ask our families to help out in other ways. But we also tailor that to what works best for the families. So we have some who help out regularly in the classroom. And so they're there, for instance, you know, every Tuesday afternoon helping out. But we also have families who serve on our board. We have families who make the Play-Doh every month or refill the markers in the art station. We have families that help take care of our classroom guinea pigs
mm-hmm.
and guppies, which is really fun.
Right, right.
So we try to match, you know, the family's needs and abilities and what their time, you know, looks like to something that they can do. But by doing that, our families really become invested in their own child's education, but also in the whole class. And it's really fun because then when your child comes home and is talking about a friend,
mm-hmm.
then you know who that is.
Right.
And you can make those connections. And it really builds a strong community very quickly.
Nice. Now, here is something else.
Mm-hmm.
How does one go about making Play-Doh?
So we have specific recipes, and also we accommodate for whatever children we have in the classroom. So right now we have recently had a child who had a severe gluten allergy that included touch, and so they can't use the standard Play-Doh because it has gluten in it. And so we found a modified recipe that our families very kindly make for us at home. But we also kind of theme it to what we're doing. So if we're doing ocean, we'll have blue Play-Doh. When we had dinosaurs, we had brown Play-Doh, so it'd be kind of like the mud.
Right,
and so our teachers are really creative with how they kind of interwork all of those things.
Nice. I didn't know until just now that you could make your own Play-Doh.
You can. Scents and flavors and all kinds of things.
Yeah. Okay. It's very fun. So has it always been like a play-based approach to learning?
Mm-hmm.
Was it like from back, it's been around for way longer than I thought it had.
Mm-hmm.
Was it always the same title, the same theme?
It's very similar. The curriculum itself changes over time, but we've had the foundation of being a cooperative preschool that is a play-based environment for the whole time. And we found, you know, that really has stood the test of time. Our children are always ready for kindergarten. They move on to professional success. In fact, we have a gentleman coming today who's an alumni who works at the State House, you know, with the state representatives. And so it's been really fun to kind of connect with those people to see where they've gone on in life and the start that they got in preschool that has allowed them this professional success as adults.
Right on. And so is this one class or it's like different classes or how does that kind
of
work?
So we are a part-time preschool. So we have three classes, two that meet in the morning and one that meets in the afternoon. We're kind of a small room. So we have one class at a time. So we have a two-day class that meets Tuesday and Thursday mornings. 3-day is Monday, Wednesday, Friday mornings. And then 4-day is Monday through Thursday in the afternoons.
Mm-hmm.
The nice thing about that is that you can kind of adjust to where your child is needing the most. If your child is, you know, at the younger age and they're just getting started, two mornings a week is perfect. It's a great introduction to the school. As they get older, as they start preparing for kindergarten, they move into the classes where they're going a little more frequently. But it's also nice because then they're still home a lot because you want to cherish those years that they're home before they run off to school.
Mm-hmm,
and so you still
mm-hmm.
get that opportunity to spend special time with them. But they also get that structure of being in the classroom. We do also encourage families to be in our classrooms as much as they would like.
Oh yeah, that's cool.
We do ask that they attend at least 3 times a year. So that's usually like their child's birthday, when they're a special friend, that sort of thing. But it's really nice, especially, you know, if you have a child who's nervous or families who are a little anxious about, you know, their first time allowing their child to be taken care of by someone else, being able and welcomes into the classroom makes a big difference. Like I said, we partner very closely with the families. We also, it's not just parents. We have grandparents that come frequently, aunts and uncles, nannies, like whoever's around that loves and supports that child. We love to have them in the classroom.
Okay. So is this also, are there like particular enroll?
Mm-hmm.
Like, is there certain enrollment periods or how does that?
Yeah. So we are currently in our enrollment period for next year. So for the 2026-2027 school year, we have one of our classes is already full and has a wait list, but we do have openings in our other two classes. So we would encourage anyone who's interested to please give us a call. We would love to talk with you and just see if we're the right fit for you and your family.
Yeah, that's cool. And so when it is, it's like a year-long cycle? Is that how it kind of is?
Mm-hmm. So we follow pretty close to the 186 school calendar, and so we'll finish up this year in May. But our enrollment opens in March, and it goes typically till the end of April. If we continue to have openings after that time, then we'll continue to take applications.
Right on. And once again, could you let everybody know how to get a hold of you?
Yes. The best way to reach us would be to check us out on our website, which is westminster-preschool.org. You can also email me directly, which is director@westminster-preschool.org. You can find us on Facebook or you can call. Most business hours, we'll have somebody there to chat with you. It's 217-522-4415.
And once again, we're in the studio with Malia Berkowitz.
Mm-hmm.
And she's come in to talk about the programs they have over there at Westminster for their preschool. Before we finish up, anything else that you'd like to add?
The only other thing I would like to add, in addition to being play-based, is that we are pretty child-directed. And so we follow the children's interests. So this year, we have a bunch of kids that are very into dinosaurs, which is very common preschool interest.
Yeah.
And so we have done a big dinosaur study. And a lot of times parents ask, well, how does, you know, playing dinosaurs dinosaurs all day, get my kid ready for kindergarten. And mm-hmm. if you watch in the classroom, we use dinosaurs to talk about the first letter sounds of each of their names.
Oh,
we
yeah.
count dinosaurs. We sort them. We put them in order. We make patterns out of them. We talk about prey and predator. We talk about the different ways that the dinosaurs might have eaten or slept. We do mm-hmm. science experiments with volcanoes. So you can take one child's idea and really run with it and teach them in ways that really prepare them for academic success.
Well, the thing is, you know, dinosaurs lived on this planet much like we do. So really, mm-hmm. it's like you can bring them alive and talk about any things that we have,
absolutely.
Too.
Absolutely,
you know? So, yeah.
Right now with spring, we're doing a study on gardens, and we have our own raised beds out on the playground where the kids, each class has their own garden bed. And then the veggies that they plant there, once they grow, we'll feed them to our guinea pigs. So we also get a little, you know, kind of circle of life talk from there as well, and mm-hmm. taking care of our environment.
Well, Leah, thank you so much for stopping by the studio.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks.
Yeah. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
I could talk all day about these
talk
kiddos.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Nice. Community Voices is events you might have missed, and conversations with neighbors, artists, and area business people. Suggest a guest or comment at communityvoices@nprillinois.org. Get to know your neighbors with Community Voices at noon and 10 p.m. and on demand at nprillinois.org. Community Voices is a production of NPR Illinois.